In turbulent times, perspective matters. The Thoughts on the Market podcast from Morgan Stanley offers concise takes on current events and what they could mean for the markets and the global economy. Get a fresh perspective every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on your favorite podcast platform.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, November 4th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The U.S. housing market is hot. Sales reached a 14-year high last month as families ventured away from big cities in search of more open space. Among those buyers are a growing number of unmarried couples. And while buying a house is always a complex process, entering into a sale as unmarried partners requires an extra level of diligence.
You really want to get a deep dive in each other's finances. So if you haven't already, talk about how much you make, what are your expenses, you know, share that, those finances with full transparency, including any debts you have.
But there are benefits too. Coming up, our personal finance reporter Veronica Dagger will explain how the closing process and taxes are different for unmarried homebuyers. Plus, you'll hear directly from a woman in Ohio who recently bought a house with her boyfriend. That's after the break.
In turbulent times, perspective matters. The Thoughts on the Market podcast from Morgan Stanley offers concise takes on current events and what they could mean for the markets and the global economy. Get a fresh perspective every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on your favorite podcast platform.
For many couples, buying a house is a personal finance milestone, but there's no rule saying a couple has to be married to buy a home together. The number of unmarried home buyers has been rising sharply in recent years, and our personal finance reporter Veronica Dagger is here to discuss all the pros and cons that come with it. Veronica, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, JR.
So when it comes to unmarried couples buying homes, what kind of numbers are we talking about?
So as you know, U.S. home sales are on the rise. They just hit a 14-year high. Families are looking to leave the cities, and they're in search for larger spaces to quarantine because they know they're going to be there for a while. And we're hearing more unmarried couples are considering buying a house together. And according to the U.S. Census Bureau, the number of unmarried partners living together nearly tripled in the last two decades to 17 million, with a notable increase among those age 65 or older.
So when unmarried people decide to buy a place, the first part of the conversation has to be, you know, can we afford it?
And before you even get to that point of buying a house together, you really want to get a deep dive in each other's finances. So if you haven't already, talk about how much you make, what are your expenses, you know, share that, those finances with full transparency, including any debts you have. You want to get a real good sense of your partner's financial situation, because if you're going to be buying a home with someone, that's a massive purchase. You really want to know as much about that person as possible, because this is such a big decision.
Well, let's get a first-person perspective on this. We're joined now by a special guest. Britta Kepf and her boyfriend recently made that decision to buy a house. They live in Brooklyn Heights, Ohio. Britta, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So once you and your boyfriend decided to buy a house, what was the money discussion like?
Once we did decide to go to the next level of actually buying a house together, we were able to figure out how much we could each afford to put in to a pot of money to buy the house. When we decided how much was good to spend, we wanted to keep it lower than the amount that we were paying in rent plus setting aside for down payment, is what we told each other. As a financial advisor, I have more detailed ways of actually deciding how much someone can afford, but that is generally our mindset when we were talking about it, is we don't want our expenses plus additional house savings. We don't want that to go up. We don't want us to move into a house and suddenly have to cut back other places or worry that our emergency fund isn't enough.
Now, is it just you and your boyfriend in the house?
It's actually not. We are renting out a room to his brother.
Oh, okay. So what's your advice to folks in your position? You know, two people not married who want to buy a house together.
When the bank tells you how much you can afford, they're not actually telling you how much you can afford. They're telling you how much they can afford to bet that you won't default. My main advice is to consider how much you can afford separately from how big of a loan you can get. a lot of people, when they are told by the bank, hey, you can afford a $400,000 house, they go, I can afford a $400,000 house. Let me look for a $400,000 house. But they can't actually afford that. Or maybe they can right now, but it would put enough pressure on their finances that the moment COVID hit and they had the job loss, they suddenly were in financial peril.
All right, that's Britta Kepp joining us from Brooklyn Heights, Ohio. So, Veronica, is the mortgage application process any easier for unmarried couples as opposed to people who are married?
You know, there can be a benefit for people who are unmarried going for a mortgage together because they have a little bit more flexibility. So, for example, you could have one partner, you know, just put their best foot forward and have that individual who's got the most income, best FICO score, best debt to income, go through the application process. And if you do that, you know, it's possible you could get a better mortgage rate. You could get better terms. If, for example, that partner has a better credit score than the person who's not on the application. You also got to know, though, that the person who is applying for the mortgage, whose name is on the mortgage, is the one who's solely responsible for that entire debt. So if you break up and you're the name on the mortgage, you're going to owe all of that money.
Yeah, I want to ask you about what happens if the couple breaks up. But first, are there tax benefits for unmarried homebuyers?
So one of the benefits of buying a home as an unmarried couple is the ability to bunch itemized deductions on one person's return and take the standard deduction on their partner's tax return. So if you were married but filing separate tax returns, you'd have to either both itemize or both take the standard deduction. However, when the couple isn't married, one individual can itemize their deductions, claiming the mortgage interest, property taxes, and all other allowable deductions while their partner can choose to take the standard deduction. And the benefit of this is that you can maximize deductions for the couple over and above what they could claim as a married couple, resulting in maximum tax savings. You know, and I actually know some people who won't get married but own a home for this very reason.
And how about determining the title of the house?
This is so important. So depending on your situation, you want to make sure both you and your partner discuss the legality of the home ownership with your independent lawyers. You know, there's a bunch of different options. It's really up to you, but you know, you could one person can own it solely. It could be joint tenancy with rights of survivorship or tenants in common, for example. It's really crucial. That titling is so crucial, though, when someone dies or when the couple breaks up. So for example, you know, if you have it titled, the house titled as tenants in common, and the deceased partner doesn't name the surviving partner as the beneficiary of the house, that survivor could become a co-owner with their late partner's parents or other relatives. And most people don't want to be in that situation.
And then there's the possibility that the couple might break up. It's an awkward conversation to have, but you have to account for it. So what sorts of agreements and what sorts of paperwork should be done ahead of time just to put yourself in a position to be ready for that?
So you want to answer questions like, you know, is there going to be a for sale? You know, is one person going to buy the other person out? How are you going to afford to do that? You know, how are you going to split the proceeds of the house? And having a written agreement, a signed legal agreement, a lot of advisors recommend this. It could be just a simple partnership agreement dealing solely with the home to answer those questions and also spell out each of the parties' rights and obligations, even if the relationship continues. It's just easier to have this all in writing so you can rely on it if there is an issue and you don't get tied up in a long legal battle.
All right, that's personal finance reporter Veronica Dagger. Veronica, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.